third date. That's a problem.
Yeah, there's two AEA handouts. That's awesome. One's a memo and one's a three-page. Yes, certainly. Please.
I might just answer a question. I think in our regular supplemental bill, which we introduced today, we've requested extending the lapse date on an FY90 appropriation for PCE. That will provide about $1.1 million that's currently encumbered. So if you add the 1.7 plus the 1.1, you get real close to 2.9. Mm-hmm. And so that amount of money would be available. Should this appropriation stand, then the program would be fully funded. So you'd be covered this fiscal year if both those appropriations were approved. So you'd have your 100% funding between the two of them.
Representative Ulmer.
Just a quick question. Is the administration's position one of supporting full funding for PCE now?
In our regular supplemental bill, we've extended the lapse date, which would continue the 80% funding. And that is the request per the AEA Board of Directors, and that is our request.
Thank you.
Sure, you'll get some revised requests while you're considering this. Sections,
Mr. Chairman, on that point,
Jack?
Cheryl, the 80% that you spoke of, is that 80%? Are you speaking in terms of the 80% for the total fiscal year from previous up to this point in time, or are you talking about 80% from now on entry to June?
80% of this current fiscal year's funding requirements. So our other bill section would bring the funding available up to 80% of the total need,
okay,
which is what our vetoed amount had been based on.
Okay. Section 4 is partial restoration of PTPC. Representative Boyer.
Someone asked me a question whether or not that adequately funded the personal services lines associated with that position as well, given the fact that the person, indicated to me, suggested that the person has been working without salary for a period of time, and that this amount is a few dollars shy of making this person whole through the balance of the year. Maybe Allison, I understood Allison.
For the record, I'm Allison Elgee. Mr. Chairman, Representative Boyer, I believe you are correct that the executive director of the PTPC has been working without pay. This would not fully reimburse her, and should the committee wish to do that, I think the appropriation would have to be increased by another $30,000 to $40,000.
Mr. Chairman. Chairman, it would not be uncharacteristic for this group to suggest making the whole. We did that last year with money for, it escapes me now, but there was a commissioner that was essentially working, and while the dispute was pending, and we appropriated the money. It was unfortunately vetoed, I think, yes. My recollection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would recommend that we make this person whole in the process, and that takes.
I believe that the estimate for half a year for this individual was $36,000, so if you added $36,000 to it, that should cover the full year's cost.
Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate, I would move the addition of $36,000 to the amount of $69,400.
Chairman, can I amend that motion?
Sure.
Well, I like to have an exact figure, so can we make a conceptual amendment for whatever that figure is and put it in there?
Sure, Mr. Chairman, conceptually, what I want to do is make this person whole, and if that is
right.
35 or it's 38.
Whatever it is, let's do it that way rather than just say 36, and then later on we forget to put in the real figure and something happens.
There are objections to that amendment. If not, that amendment is adopted. Sections 5 through 13 are restoration of veto amounts based on a third of the fiscal year for health and social services, for block grants, and other services provided around the state. It's essentially one-third of the fiscal year funding. Section 14 is health and social services for child abuse prevention, which is also, Representative Boyer, go ahead. It's also a restoration. Representative Boyer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you don't know how bad this makes me feel to have to speak or ask questions about this particular one, but to characterize this as a restoration isn't perhaps totally accurate. In the budget, the way it ultimately manifested last year, we funded what are characterized as tertiary grants for child abuse providers that provide a different level of care, and there is no current grant mechanism on the street to push this money through to current grantees. And if we put this amount of money on the street now, through the normal process, it would probably take a minimum of 45 days, 60 days to get this money out through an RFP process for people to provide strict preventive services in this area. And I just don't think that it makes good sense to do that. I would rather see us put some additional dollars back into the preventive services line for child abuse prevention and add that to what is in the system now. And I don't know that putting the supplemental in here accomplishes that. I think you end up with what is already a kind of an off-kilter funding cycle for grants. And I have asked because I thought maybe you could just top off existing grantees. You've got grantees who are providing some level of service here, but you haven't got, absent another RFP, the ability to just top off an existing grant. Perhaps the department would like to address it. I asked them about it last night in a budget subcommittee meeting, and that's, I think, my understanding of it. I hate to speak against having that in here, but unless it accomplishes what we want to accomplish, which is prevention services for child abuse prevention, I'm not sure it's appropriate.
Okay, could we have Ms. Blivey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jay Livey, Health and Social Services. Representative Boyer is correct. What happened is when the money was vetoed last year, we squeezed the number of grantees that we gave money to, and many of the grantees who are providing primary prevention were not funded because Representative Boyer said we funded tertiary prevention types of projects. So we would have a problem that our existing grantees may or may not be funded to provide essentially primary prevention. If they weren't, then putting an RFP on the street and getting money out there would be very difficult by the time the end of the year rolls around.
Representative Ullman.
I have a couple of questions. First, could you explain to the committee what you mean by tertiary versus primary prevention services?
Mr. Chairman. The types of prevention that we ended up funding were largely early intervention grants through DFYS, and they are primarily not educational type grants. They are more for direct services to individuals that will prevent further abuse.
Okay, and the other type?
We changed from funding primarily primary prevention, which would be education, and early recognition, to funding grants that are more for eliminating.
More along the lines of intervention with a particular family.
Right.
As opposed to
global prevention mm-hmm. that goes out into the entire community.
Okay. Now, could you clarify why you don't think you could go out for an RFP for really is prevention as opposed to intervention? I mean, I understand it takes some time, okay. But it can happen at any moment. I mean, RFPs go out at any moment for any period of time.
Mr. Chairman, we talked about this afternoon, and if we were working backwards, assuming that this appropriation would be made and the money would be available by March 15th, and then writing an RFP, getting on the street, getting information back from PEC, that unless you were doing a contract that would obligate the money into the next fiscal year, grant funds would have to be spent by June 30th of this fiscal year.
So you're saying the earliest you could get something out would be by mid-April? That's what
I think. Possibly a month after the money is available.
Okay. So which would still give you basically 4 months 3 or 4 months of services, and then depending upon whether or not it looked like we were going to include money in the budget for preventive services, whether or not you would be able to continue those.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And the other option that Representative Boyer was talking about was simply increasing your existing contracts to be able to provide an additional array of services, that is, expand the intervention to prevention. And why isn't that realistic?
Through the chair, in that case, what we could do is we would send a letter out to existing grantees, and to the extent that they could respond to have them send us information back, which tells us what they would do with 2.5 or 3 months worth of funding, and to the extent that it fits within the original RFP and within the scope of what they're doing now under a current grant, we could do it that way.
And Representative Boyer, you concluded you didn't think that was feasible for some other reason, based on your interaction with the contractors?
I come and ask for money all the time, and I'd rather ask for this money in the FY93 budget and start a clean cycle, because what we're seeing with 92 is the lapsing of some funds anyway, or the utilization, cross-utilization of funds where it's appropriate within an appropriation already, and it's to kind of try to get contracts on an even keel, start contracts July 1 and move through the process, and instead of having some that lapse in February and others that lapse in March. And so part of it is that attitude, just wanting not to create something that we'll have lapse funding for. I don't know that you can get all this money out and on the street and utilized, so some of it perhaps lapses. So I don't want to see that happen. I'd rather add $545,000 to the prevention line, grants line in the FY93 budget. Start it fresh as opposed to starting it now. It's not a, I don't see it as a supplemental need. I see it as a venture that we moved into last year that was vetoed, so we didn't move in that direction. I'd like to try it one more time in FY93. That's
not to belabor this point because I know time is of the essence. I guess my feeling is that if we don't put the money in now, it's very likely that the money won't go in anyway because this was a vetoed item. We didn't choose to do a veto override for a multitude of reasons, and frankly, we probably won't be here next summer to do a veto override either. So this really presents our only realistic opportunity to put money into prevention services this year, unless we can convince the administration to change its attitude and see the wisdom of prevention. So I continue to feel as though, even if it's a shorter period of time, that it is not unrealistic to ask the department to go forward with RFPs. Maybe they'd do more of them, even if they, I mean, if they had this amount of money, instead of doing it for 6 months in three places, they could do it for 3 months in six places.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we leave this in, and I haven't proposed, obviously, to take it out yet, but if we leave it in, I think clearly at a minimum have to add a new subsection, modify subsection or section 33 to exclude section 14, and then add another separate lapse date for section 14. And you extend essentially, I mean, you have a 14.5 month program instead of a 12.5 month grant cycle. If we elect to do it that way, I mean, that's clearly a better way to do it.
That's fine with me.
Mr. Chairman, if that's the interest of the committee, I would move that we delete Section 14 from the effective date clause in Section 33, or the lapse date clause, and create a new lapsing date clause for Section 14, which would have a lapse date of June 30th, 1993.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
So what we have effectively done then is... we're acting then in the supplemental bill, implementing part of the HES budget for fiscal year 93.
That sounded like what the interest of at least one member was. And Mr. Chairman, a technical question of whether or not we have to change the title as well.
Sure.
Making bill. Appropriations for FY 92 and 93.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I know we can, but do we need to?
Yes.
Representative Boyer, if I might make a suggestion, because of the title change that I think you probably would find necessary, you might want to consider going ahead and leaving this in the bill as written and reviewing it again in May when we will have the second supplemental bill up dealing with reappropriations and extended lapse dates and a variety of other issues. And if at that time it appears that the money can't be spent by year end, put the lapse date extension in that vehicle.
That's acceptable, Mr. Chairman, if the department moves ahead on the effective date of the act. and moves ahead with the new RFP. If the department were to wait or to somehow limit the RFP, then I think we've not affected what we want to do. Jay, do you have any comments on that? If this stands the test of the veto pen, with the understanding that we would come in later and extend that lapse date in the second supplemental?
I don't think that would be a problem if we go ahead with an RFP at that point. I mean, go ahead and do the RFP.
Further discussion. Do you move the changes?
He
moved that change in the date.
Well, but we don't need the date changed at that point without understanding. So I withdraw the motion to amend.
Section 15 is a request from administration and disaster relief. $1.7 million, section 16.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, but maybe if we could have Cheryl come forward. It's my understanding that when the governor declares a disaster, that he or she can then pull from any sources of revenue that the state has to meet those disaster needs. So what we would basically have here is a paper debt that says we have to repay some date, whether it be today or May or next year or 3 years from now, because I'm not sure whether we ever paid for the Anchorage disaster back in 86 yet. So I guess what my question is, do we need to direct our attention to this now? But even more so, at least in my estimation, is that within my district, we had the Matanuska River erode tremendous amounts of property. We had, or pending, having houses fall into the river. We have the continual potential of that continuing. And from the administration, we get a $500,000 disaster loan. So why aren't these loans instead of grants? And maybe you get the administration to respond to that. Or should I come with an amendment to ask that a loan be changed to a grant in regards to the Butte flood erosion problem?
Mr. Chairman, if I can, and this is not my area of any depth of any expertise, however, one, I believe we need this additional authorization because these disasters exceed $1 million on the monies that requested in Section 15. And so that's why these specific requests are in here. These are the amounts greater than $1 million for these specific disasters. So it requires legislative approval.
In other words, they were $1,650,000?
Correct. Okay. And then as far as the MATSU, I could ask Military and Veterans Affairs to respond to you. My understanding is the statutes, the MATSU erosion situation did not meet the statutory requirements for a disaster, and that's why it was not declared a disaster to fall under this relief fund. However, it does provide for loans in certain circumstances. But again, this I'd have to call upon the expertise of the
Mr. Chairman, it was declared a disaster area by the state, and therefore, the governor was able to give a $500,000 loan to the Matsu Borough. So there wasn't any question of whether it met the qualifications for a disaster or not. It was just a question on the type of aid, whether it be a loan or a grant. And
I'd be glad to have the department get directly back to you and follow up.
And I guess getting back to my first question then, is this something that's necessary now or could this be considered in the later supplemental?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that these have already been declared disasters before further work can proceed on them. These additional monies are required. We did review with the department expenditures to date out of the first $1 million, and in these three situations, they did need the additional dollars to proceed. Otherwise, they would have to wait for the next bill passes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I was able to make my point. I think I'll continue to discuss it both with the administration and hopefully bring it back to the legislature for future consideration.
Section 16 is Department of Public Safety.
$500,000, wasn't it?
for increased program costs. Representative Boyer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I read the backup and then called the department yesterday because I was curious about the suggested increase of $100,000 for increased premium insurance premium costs. And I couldn't get an answer, a direct answer, whether or not that increase had actually taken place and whether or not we needed to have it here or could address it later. We clearly have some, the other part of the cost, $125,000 for keeping VPSOs working is a real issue and needs to be addressed, but I don't think that the increased insurance costs have manifested yet. And so, I mean, it's a small amount of money, $100,000, they've guessed they may need, but does anybody have any better information? I didn't get the answers I was looking for yesterday. In the absence of it, I just think it's $100,000 we don't need to have here. Mr. Chairman, in any event, I think it's the kind of thing that we have, as long as we have the officers working, we're paying for that. It's the kind of fine-tuning we can do in the second supplemental if we find that there have been increased insurance premiums.
Okay, so you want to offer an amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I would move for the reduction of the $225,000 to $125,000.
Is there objection?
To changing.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if George heard, but I mean, the question was whether or not the $125,000, according to the backup and my conversation with folks, is for keeping VPSOs doing their job, working through their contractors. The additional $100,000 was for a guesstimate of the additional cost of insurance premiums. And it was just that guess that it actually hadn't materialized yet. So I suggested that because it's not supplementally the same since the other things are, could be deferred until the second supplemental if in fact those increased costs materialize. It will not affect, should not affect the officers on duty.
Take a brief at ease, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Jackal?
Can we take a brief at ease?
Yeah, a brief at ease.
Mark, while we're
maybe we'll come back to order. Representative Boyer.
Mr. Chairman, in our brief at ease, apparently the information from the department is that the grantees, the contractors, have in fact experienced the increases in insurance premiums. And given that information, I would withdraw my motion to reduce, and thereby the sum would remain the same, $225,000.
Objection. Without objection. Section 17 is for public safety contract jails, increased cost, program costs. Section 18 is to public safety, domestic violence and sexual assault program. It's to increase grant funding. Section 19 is a request from OMB, Department of Corrections, and major medical, $2.1 million. Section 20 is the we heard from Arch Snowden at our last meeting report regarding the court system and their request for supplemental operating expenses. Section 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25 are legislature. Section 26 is the Alaska legislature for the Health Resources and Access Task Force. We discussed that also at the last meeting. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment, I think Section 21 through Section 26 are all necessary, and I hope, of course, that we approve them. I just want to note for everyone just to mark down the Budget and Audit Committee, the budget request approved by the legislature was $611,000. The administration vetoed it down to $45,200, as I remember. We have survived through the roll forward, and I think we can continue to make it to the end of the year. I did have a request that didn't make it in the supplemental for 35.2. And I guess I just want to call everyone's attention to the fact that it is not in the supplemental, but we may need some help later on in the course of, in order to continue to operate that committee when it comes time for the fiscal year 93. I want us to be able to recognize the fact that we no longer have that roll forward money to continue the operations of the committee, and we're going to be looking for adequate funding. Thank you.
Section 27 is Department of Natural Resources. This is a request that we also heard from OMB last time on. It was going to be in their second supplemental, but they'll be out of money as of the 1st of March. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move that we change general fund on line 24 to agricultural revolving loan fund. And my reason for proposing that is that while I really have trouble wanting to spend any money on this, I think it is appropriate for the legal services to ARLF to come from ARLF. And if the members look at the backup in our packet, most of this money is to go as an RSA to law for specifically things related to the ARLF, its board meetings, its policies, its litigation, and it's, you know, 2.5 people just to keep them going. But I think in addition to that, Mr. Chairman, that this is what the administration feels would stand, and if we put it in here as a general fund, it's likely to be vetoed.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
Yeah, here again we might ask Cheryl, but one of the problems that we have had, as you recall, was that to run the Division of Agriculture, we've always felt it should be run like any other division in state government, that the dollars come from the general fund. We had that in the budget last year, and the governor, of course, vetoed the general fund as the source of dollars, so that a large portion of the operation of the division right now is coming from the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund. And what this request is then for the general fund, which should have been the total source, at least become a partial source for the year that, or the time in the year that's remaining. So I would have to oppose the shift in funding at this time, just simply because I don't know if the revolving loan fund can stand another hit to that magnitude without greatly affecting the program.
Yeah. Mr. Raskin, I do recall that when we had this supplemental up before, Cheryl testified that the administration was going to put it in, but they were going to put it out as a revolving loan fund.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that's correct. In our regular supplemental bill introduced today, there is a section that appropriates this amount from the ARLF.
Okay, the motion is to change the funding source from general fund.
If I could ask one question.
Sure.
Will the general fund appropriation stand, or will it be vetoed?
I would expect the governor to support the section in his bill.
Maybe I should withdraw my motion. I'll let it stand. I'll let the motion stand.
Okay.
I oppose the motion.
There is objection. Is there further discussion? Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Larson?
No.
Representative Phillips?
No.
Representative Sharp?
No.
Representative Ulmer?
I'll pass.
Representative Boyer?
No.
Representative Barnes? Representative Brown?
Yes.
Representative Jacka?
No.
Representative Kopanen?
No.
McLean?
Yes.
Representative Navar?
No.
Representative Ulmer?
No.
Motion fails. Section 28 is for a statewide EMS program for $100,000. Section 29 is $15,500,000 to the Department of Law for legal costs. Section 30 is for Department of Public Safety, search and rescue. They are completely out of money, and this section has been pulled from the governor's supplemental bill and put in this in recognition of the fact that they are out of money. Section 50 is the Community and Regional Affairs payment under AS-2905 to the City of Pilot Point, which has incorporated since last year. that's it. Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to bring one additional item to the attention of the committee. I hope that another member was going to bring this to the attention of the committee, but I'll go ahead and begin the issue. Last night in our budget subcommittee on mental health services, it became clear that a transitional living center in Anchorage will be closing its doors at the end of the month because of inadequate funding. They had received some general fund monies, I think in the neighborhood of $500,000, through the community mental health grants line for this transitional living center in Anchorage. And as supplement to that grant, they had been charging back through the Medicaid system for supplemental funding. That was how they supplemented their grant. And there has been an ongoing rewrite of the Medicaid regulations, which won't allow for clinic services to be paid for through the Medicaid program. It will require a different option that the state may pick up, which the subcommittee is probably going to recommend that we adopt at some point in the future, for rehab, what they characterize as rehabilitation services, to be billed back against the Medicaid program. That hasn't been the case. We don't have that option, so this clinic, which provides rehabilitation-type services in some settings, has not been able to access and has been wrongfully accessing Medicaid for its services in the past, and so is being kind of cut off from the Medicaid system. In order to keep their doors open through the balance of the fiscal year so that we can address the issue of rehabilitation services through the Medicaid budget, it would take $180,000 of general fund dollars from the Mental Health Trust Income Account. Currently, the carry forward from the Mental Health Trust Income Account exceeds $98 million. So there's clearly a funding source available to us for this. And I think that the testimony that we heard last night from the department, and testimony we heard earlier in the week from people in Anchorage with regard to this, and I think you have a letter in your pack, or a letter that was made available unbeknownst to me, from a woman who helps transition these people who need this service to the appropriate homes, for lack of a better word, living center, that the need is clearly there, it's clearly demonstrated, and for the purposes of additional discussion, I would move for the inclusion of a section appropriating $180,000 from the general fund / mental health trust income account to the community mental health grants line in the services to the chronically mentally ill component of the budget.
Is there objection? Without objection, that amendment has been adopted.
Good work, Ron.
I object. I object.
I was going to say that you did good work, Ron.
There is objection. Is there a discussion? Secretary, call the roll.
Mr. Chairman?
No.
Representative Barnes, excuse me.
Before Representative Phillips objects too loudly, that this is a component of the budget that I happen to be very familiar with. I can tell you it's very badly needed, and that these beds, if they aren't utilized for this purpose, that there's no place presently to put these people, because there's no other transitional living center available.
Mr. Chairman,
by the time you're done with this session,
Representative Boyer,
additionally, I was told that we need to add the phrase services to the chronically mentally ill, and then add the phrase for transitional living services, and that way the money would go specifically for this service. And this is the folks who you see at Beans Cafe and living at the Glory Hole, and people who are out and literally on the streets, the homeless on the street in the middle of winter. That's who the people are.
Okay, the motion has been made. There is objection. Objection okay. Maintained. Secretary, yep. Please call the roll.
Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Sharp.
Yes.
Representative Ulmer.
Yes.
Representative Boyer.
Yes.
Representative Barnes.
Yes.
Representative Brown.
Yes.
Representative Jacko.
Yes.
Representative Kopanen.
Yes.
Representative Larson.
Yes.
Representative Navarre.
Yes.
Representative McCown.
Yes.
Any further amendments to be offered? Representative Boyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass out CS for HB 50 finance with individual recommendation.
Is there objection? No objection, so moved. Please sign the committee report before you leave.
And that motion.
We will do.
Like Drew Chris,
that
way.
Meeting is adjourned.
What do you think?
First of all, I thought this is still there. They're promoting this, and then I find out there's a bill that's paid for this stuff.